before us. Please take the Word of God, if you will, and turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Before I begin here, I just did want to say this, that last week we had issues with the sound and the message itself getting recorded. And so, you know, we see the number of people that we have here and we wonder sometimes, okay, what are we recording it for? But I received about 350 emails from everywhere from the Indian Ocean to the Philippines, around the world, wondering what happened and when will the message be on the website and the app. So that's wonderful news. Amen? Amen. So for those of you listening in the Chantilly Islands and the Mauritius Islands and New Guinea and those other places, welcome to our service this morning. I say grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at today's Word of God, Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, if you have your Bibles all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please hold them up over your head. Amen. That is wonderful. And by the way, if you're using your phone for your Bible in a digital format, please make sure it's on mute or turn the volume all the way up so that when it rings, we can all look and point and enjoy each other. We continue the current series, Encounters with Christ, today with part 5, Challenge. We are challenged by Christ. You know, as we face different challenges in this world, the things that are going on around our country right now, certainly we face challenges, amen, in our country. We face personal challenges. We face challenges in the church. We face challenges in our everyday walk of life. And sometimes we can look around, recognizing that we have a higher calling by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we may ask, what can I do in the grand scheme of things? Well, in one word, nothing. Nothing except what we are called to do. You know, you may ask, what would Elijah, what would David, what would Peter, what would the Apostle Paul themselves do? I tell you today that they would do what the Word of God has called them to do. That they would pray, that they would seek God's face, and that they would not go where God has called them to go. Because there is good news today. Friends, Scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? However, if a room of Christians, if a room of blood-bought saints and the people of this size commit themselves wholly to God and pray and seek the Lord's face, pray and seek the Holy Spirit power, what we used to say in the old days, let's see if we can't get some Holy Ghost power. Amen? Then let me tell you something right now, that Satan is going to have a bad second half of 2016 in Broward County. Amen? So let's look at our message today, shall we? Let's look at the verses reading from the Word of God, Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. If you are there in your Bibles, please say, Amen. Amen. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. Did you know, Christians, did you know those sitting here in the sanctuary and across the internet, did you know that you are blessed of God simply because you were sitting here and you heard those words read to you? Did you know that? You say, well, how can that possibly be, Pastor Larry? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 3 in the same chapter. If you're there, say amen. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, meaning this book that we're in, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You are blessed simply by reading and hearing those words. For the time is near. What time is near? The time of the return of the Lord of Jesus Christ, returning in glory. And we know when that happens that we will be caught up to be with Him and to live with Him forevermore. In today's encounter with Christ, we see a directive clearly stated by the Lord to John about He is to write. What is John to write? If you look at this again, in verse 19, it says, write the things which you have seen. What has he seen? Well, in verse 9, it says, I, John, both your brother and companion of the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit. Tell us about the things of how he got to this place. So the things which he has seen, and the things which will take place after this. The things which you have seen, the things which you do see. That begins in verse chapter 2 and verse 1. If you're there, take a look. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. This is talking about the church. The things which he has seen, the things that John has seen, the things which he is seeing right now that Christ is revealing to him, and then the things which are to come, which began over in chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I'm on the wrong passage, I apologize. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. John is commanded to write the things which he has seen, the things which he is seeing, and the things which are to come. The Christian, if we take this passage as an allegory, if we take this passage as the path the Christian is to take, the Christian is to write about the things, to bear testimony to the things which we have seen, the things which we are seeing now, and the things which are to come. We have seen the Lord is good. Amen? We have seen that God has provided a way for our salvation. We have seen the changed lives of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are seeing now the church at work. As we look around our lives, we see what is going on in the world. We can bear testimony of goodness of God that is shown through His people that bear witness to Him, and the things that do not bear witness of Him, and what they bear witness to. The bad things of the world versus the good things of the world. We see that, and we can draw a stark difference between what the child of God receives through the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the world receives if without Jesus Christ. But we also are to bear witness of what is to come, amen? And what's coming? The Son of God, riding on the clouds. But listen, look at the challenge in verse 19 again that I just read through. This is also a challenge to the believer to share what we know of past, present, and future. The apostle bears witness to five truths that we will talk about today in this word. If you have your notes in front of you, please prepare to write them down. We've left room in the margins for you to jot down some extra verses along the way. First, look at verse 17, because Christ is the reigning one. If you look up on the screen, you will see that. Christ is the reigning one. Verse 17 says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the great I am. I am the first and the last. So Christ is the one who has always been. He is the first. He is the one who will always be. But as the one who always has been and who always will be, means that He was there in the beginning and He will be there after time is no more. Jesus Christ stands as the great bookends of time. Before history began, He was. When human history ends, He will be. Kings may come and go, but Jesus has, is, and will reign forever to the glory of God the Father. He is timeless and He is eternal. Hebrews 13:8 says of Jesus that He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It does not mean that He ever changes. It bears witness that Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. The same Christ that saved you yesterday is the same Christ that walks with you today, and He is the same Christ that will walk with you in the future days of your life. He is also the same Christ that will come back someday, as I've said so many times, in great glory. And what we have in verse 17 is nothing less than a clear claim of deity and of His own sovereign title by the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have heard some disbelievers or those that mock Christianity say, well, Jesus said, I am God. Well, He never says those specific words, but when Jesus says, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, that is a clear claim of deity from our Savior. That title is reserved only for Jehovah God. And it is found only three times in the Old Testament and only three times in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you should have these up on the screen. You will see that in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 4, it says, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And Isaiah 48 verse 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am He. I am the first and I am also the last. So three times in the Old Testament we see the first and the last. What about Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Well, we see right here in verse 17, Christ says, I am the first and I am the last. In your Bibles, please look at chapter 2, verse 8. If you're there, please say amen. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says who? The first and the last who was dead and came to life. Flip all the way to the back of the book of Revelation to chapter 22 quickly. Chapter 22. By the way, I love the way this story ends, don't you? I read the end of this book and we win, guys. Chapter 22 and verse 13, if you dare, please say amen. By the way, there are seven Beatitudes, seven blessings in the book of Revelation. And as you look at verse 13, this precedes the final blessing, the final Beatitude in the book of Revelation. But look at verse 13, chapter 22. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And just so I don't want anyone to miss out on any further blessings, look at the final blessing here in the book of Revelation, in the scripture itself. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. With these words, Jesus Christ in verse 17 declares that He is co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. It is a reminder that since He is God, He is in control. Sometimes it's difficult to let go of control of our lives, isn't it? And you just say, Jesus, here it is. All that I am belongs to You. He is in control. Therefore, you need not fear, child of God, anything in this life, nor in death. You need not fear anything. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the hub around which the wheel of time rotates. He is not only before all, above all, under all, around all, after all, He is the all in all. He is the one that sustains all things through Him. So not only is He the reigning one, as our second note today says, that He is the redeemed one. Look at verse 18 if you would. It says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The death of Christ was like no other death in the history of the world, because He died not for Himself, He died for all others, that they would have a way to the Father. The Son of God went to Calvary's cross to pay a price He did not owe for those people who owed a price that they could not pay. We owed a debt, a sin debt, that we simply could not pay. Christ offered all that he had for those that had nothing to offer and paid the whole price of our salvation with his own precious blood. I bring nothing to the cross of Christ except my faith that he will save me. Jesus Christ placed himself in our sins and the wrath of Almighty God. If we will only believe. And it must be done. How do you get to heaven? John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does all of that mean? It means that God has a plan. There's one plan, and that plan's name has a name, and the name is Jesus Christ. God says, let us form man in our image. The world today says we will conform man to our image of what we want the man to be. Satan says, I will deform man by his sin. Educational people today say, let us inform man with knowledge. Society says we will our culture. But only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, I will transform man by my death on the cross of Calvary if he will only believe. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. His blood did what millions and millions of gallons of sacrificial animal blood had never been able to do. Pay for sin once and for all. In the book of Exodus, it was the blood of the lamb that caused the death angel to pass over the children of Israel. It came the law in the book of Leviticus. And it was the blood of bulls and goats and calves and pigeons and turtle doves that atoned for the sins of Israel for many hundreds of years. And it got to the point where as they made their sacrifices, they became useless sacrifices. And it came to the point to where if they figured that they needed to pay X penance for something that they had done, and they had the money to pay that, whether it was to sacrifice a bull or a lamb or whatever, then they would simply go and do the sin because they had the money to pay the price. And in the book of Isaiah, the second half of the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, God says, don't you bring me another bullock. Don't you bring me another lamb. I don't want any part of your worthless sacrifices. Do not bring that to me. And he never reinstitutes that. He never again says in the Old Testament, sacrifices are now okay. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now it is the precious blood and only the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin and makes man a new creature. Do you have people in your family that were lost and that are now saved? There's a difference. There's a difference in them. When we become new creatures, we are righteous before the throne of God. Please understand, we're not trying to trick anyone. It is only the blood of Jesus that can save a lost sinner and make him into a saint of God. Is that narrow-minded? Well, so be it. That's what the Word of God says. Amen? Jesus died of his own free will and forever conquered the enemies of the soul. I may be a sinner. Matter of fact, there's no may about it. I am a sinner. But hell has no hold on me because I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. So not only was he the reigning one, not only is he the redeemed one, he is also the resurrected one. Look at verse 18 again, please, if you would. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Again, Jesus Christ uses a divine title to describe himself by saying, I am the living one. You see, please understand, our God is not a God of wood, stone, gold, or any other dead thing. You notice something about the cross that we have up here. He's not on it. Amen. Nor is he in a grave somewhere. He is resurrected and alive and seated at the right hand of God, to the glory of God the Father. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is our living Savior, and He did something that no one has ever done before. On His own, He entered death in His own time, and in His own way, accomplished everything that He came to do, and then on the third day, He walked out of that tomb. He walked out because He was ready. Friends, Jesus is alive. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. And people say, Pastor, we know that. We're the choir you're preaching to. Why do you keep preaching to the choir? Because that's how you get the choir to sing. Hallelujah. As that old jingle goes, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives in my heart. Hallelujah. The greatest miracle of the redemption story is not that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, because after all, the living one would be pretty hard to hold in a tomb. Amen? No, the miracle, the true miracle of the redemption story is that God Himself would enter the world at all. Live among sinful humans in a corrupted, fallen world. Suffer the agony of the cross and die for sinful man. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 should be on the screen. Says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Friends, I don't know what you are facing today in your life. You may be facing but there is no reason for a believer to ever fear the death that Jesus has conquered for them. So first, not only is He the reigning one, not only was He the redeemed one, not only is He the resurrected one, but Jesus Christ is the remaining one. Still in verse 18, I am alive, how long? Forevermore. I am alive forevermore. Jesus proclaims Himself as the one who will never taste death again. Why is this so important? Please take a look at the screen if you will. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 17. It says, for He testifies. Now pay close attention here. I want you to do well on the test later. For He testifies, you are a priest, how long?
Forever,
according to the order of Melchizedek. Then again in verse 25 it says, therefore he is also what? Able to save to the, what, little bit? Uttermost. Those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Doesn't it feel good to know you guys? How about you guys? He's probably working overtime for me. But He's there to make intercession for me. That passage clearly states that Jesus is our high priest forever. That He can save us to the uttermost. Meaning what? Why is that important? Please turn in your Bibles, in the Word of God, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, way back in the start of your Bibles, guys. Book of Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible. Numbers chapter 35. I love to hear and see the pages of the Bible turn. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 25. If somebody gets there in a paper Bible, please say amen.
Amen.
All right. Listen closely to the manifested treasure of the Word of God. Are you guys ready for a nugget? Listen to this. Numbers 25. Pardon me. Numbers 35 and verse 25. So the congregation should deliver the manslayer, this is a murderer, from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who has anointed with the holy oil. And Old Testament times, what this passage is saying, in Old Testament times they had refuge cities. And if a city was declared to be a refuge city and somebody committed a crime, they could run to the priest in that city, ask that priest for refuge, and when that priest had given him refuge and anointed him with oil, he was protected as long as that priest was alive. So the criminal was absolutely safe. And if people from another city went into that city, captured him, took him back to their city for trial, God is saying, no, no, that's refuge. Take him back to his place of refuge. The criminal was absolutely safe as long as the high priest that gave him that refuge was alive. But Jesus will never die. He is our high priest forever. And folks, believers in Jesus Christ, if you have fled to Jesus for refuge because of your sins, you enjoy safety and protection as long as Jesus Christ, our high priest, is alive. And how long is that? Forevermore. Amen? To the glory of God the Father. And just in case anyone missed this, since Jesus will never die again, and we are bound to Jesus in our refuge, we have wonderful, absolute, eternal, glorious security in our salvation. Pastor Larry, are you saying that means once saved, always saved? Absolutely. Once saved, always saved. Our salvation is bound up in He who will die evermore because we have sought refuge in Him. With every ruler, when every citizen has disappeared from the fabric of ages, when every rich man and every poor man has been erased from the memory of time, when every kingdom and every deed is faded by the stream of history, Jesus Christ will still be Lord and He will still be God. He is the remaining one. Why? Because it says in verse 18, I am alive forevermore. Guys, relax. Don't worry about something happening to our high priest. When time is no more, and eternity stretches into forevermore, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ will still be the great I Am, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Give Him praise in the house of God. Amen. First, we saw that He is the reigning one. Second, we saw that He was the redeemed one. Third, we saw that He is the resurrected one. Then, fourth, we saw that He... Did I give you number four? That He was the remaining one. And now, in part five, we see that He is the releasing one. Good Lord, Pastor Larry, what does that mean? He is the releasing one. Look at the last part of verse 18. If you're there, please say amen. Right after the word amen. And I have the keys of Hades. Hades means hell. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Keys speak of access, authority. The one that has the key has access and authority. I have keys to my house. I have keys to my car. I have access. I have the authority over those places that I have, places I have the keys for. But Jesus entered and conquered the grave. So He possesses the keys to Hades and of death. Therefore, Jesus Christ decides all of the issues of eternal life and eternal death, meaning separation from God. What does that say again? He possesses the keys to hell and death. Death is a condition. Hell is the place. Death is a condition. Hell is the place. Ephesians chapter 2 says that while I was yet dead, meaning bound for hell, but God sent Jesus Christ for my salvation. Jesus Christ possesses the key to every tomb. He possesses the key to every graveyard. He possesses a key to every burial place that has ever or will ever exist. Jesus Christ knows where every dead body, every scattered bone, every cremated ash, every bit of dust lies on this earth. And one day soon, Jesus Christ will open all the graves. His people will rise again and join Him in glory. How do I know that? I am so glad that you asked. If you'll please look on the screen at 1 Thessalonians 4. This is so good. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have fallen asleep, meaning died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself... I love this. For the Lord Himself... Are y'all in here with me?
Yes.
For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That means when a brother or sister in Christ is going through a tough time, you comfort them with our words? No, these words. Brother, get out your Bible. Read what God has said about the difficulties in your life. Now, you'll notice that I mentioned all the places of death that Christ has the keys to. One of the biggest questions that I get as a pastor, and we're running long today because we started late, and I'm not even sorry. We're just going to run long. One of the questions I get most often is, Pastor, what about cremation? What about cremation? I just feel that we shouldn't do that because the ashes are scattered or whatever. And so I ask people, I say, what really is your question? What is your question when you ask me about cremation? Do you know Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are you telling me that God that created everything in the universe, everything in the creation, that God that out of Him came everything that is, everything that is now and ever will be, that God cannot find your ashes? Is that what you were telling me? That means that if you believe that, you have a small God. Because it's not just a cremation. What about the people that fall overboard in a boat at sea? What about the people that get swept away? What about the guy that thinks he's just going to cross one of those rivers over in the Serengeti in Africa and just walk across there and gets eaten by an alligator? Guys, relax about these things. We serve a big God. Amen?
Yes.
We don't have to worry about our loved ones who die in jail. Amen. Give God some glory. We don't have to worry about our loved ones who die in Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about where we are headed when the time comes. Here is the assurance. Are you guys ready? Because I have received Jesus Christ as Lord, I cannot go to hell. You got that? Say, got it, Pastor.
Got it.
I cannot go to hell because Jesus locked the door.
Amen.
And who's got the key? He does. It's impossible for me to go to hell. It's impossible for the child of God to go to Hades. Because I have received Jesus Christ as Lord, I'm bound for glory. He has locked the gates of hell and He has unlocked the gates of heaven for me. And one day I will be walking the streets of glory. When Jesus appeared to John in verse 17 in today's passage, the apostle was overcome by the presence and the appearance of the Lord, and he faded dead away. Can't blame him for that. To see King Jesus? Not the gentle shepherd that walked the face of the earth, but the King Jesus of heaven. He fainted dead away. But the Lord, in grace and mercy, look at that. Look at that. In grace and mercy in verse 17, the Lord laid his hand upon John and said, "Fear not." The phrasing and tense of that word, are you there? Do you see it where he says, "Don't be afraid"? The phrasing and text of that word and the original text are important. Loaded with nuggets today. That literally means stop being afraid and don't ever be afraid again. Stop being afraid and don't ever be afraid again. If you know Jesus, you do not have to fear life, death, sin, Satan, or eternity. If you know Jesus, you can have peace because you know the Prince of Peace. Christians, you may be going through a tough time right now. The sickness and the agony of this world may be crushing you like a grape. But just remember, it takes a crushed grape to make the fresh new wine. Jesus Christ says, "Fear not. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You know, the Prince of Preachers himself, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, at the end of the 1800s, I was actually going to say the end of last century, but it was the century before that. That's how long I've been around. The story of Spurgeon is that he was traveling one day before he was saved. He was a young man. He was in a terrible blizzard, and he was just seeking refuge. And he stumbled into a church. And that day, in that church, the pastor couldn't make it because of the weather. And so there was just some old saint up there to preaching the sermon that day. I hope if that ever happens around here, one of you saints will get up and start praising God. Amen? Amen? Divine, I'm counting on you. Cliff, I'm counting on you. Ivan, I'm counting on you guys. If Pastor Larry gets stuck in traffic in this 3 miles from the house, you guys need to step it up. So the minister's not there because of the storm. Just a saint spoke in the church, and the saint just read the words of Isaiah 45, verse 22. Mark this in your margin. Of Isaiah 45, verse 22, read, "And be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." You want to look for salvation? God says, "Look to me." Maybe you are dealing with the greatest fear of all and wondering what will happen to you, friend. But I declare on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus can give you peace today. If you're battling trials, that doesn't, and you accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean your troubles are going to go away. It doesn't mean you'll be healed if you're praying for healing. But if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you may even still have far more questions than you have answers. But the one question that you'll never have to wonder about again is where you're headed. Amen. And all God's people said. Amen. I end as I begin each week with these words: grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. What a glorious day it has been to be in the house of the Lord as we have learned and shared His Word. With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.